Thanks, Josh. I think drinking coffee or tea will give you credit. It's a prerequisite for being a good writer, right? So a question for you as we start. Have you ever sat down to write and then somehow found yourself rummaging through the fridge for something to eat? Or maybe with the compulsion to organize every closet in your house? Or maybe you entered some time warp and an hour just disappeared and all you did was check Facebook and email. Don't need to raise hands, but I confess I'm probably guilty of all of them. In the early pages to the book, The War of Art, Stephen Pressfield says, there's a secret that real writers know that wannabe writers don't. And the secret is this. It's not the writing part that's hard. What's hard is sitting down to write. So whether it's simply finding time in an already busy schedule or the ability to make yourself sit and stay focused, we all face this battle of making time to write and making the most of our writing time. And I do recommend that you pick up The War of Art and read through that. He has really great practical helps for getting through that. But I found this pie chart on Facebook when I was supposed to be writing about the writing process to be a really accurate picture. If you can see, the little blue slice is time spent actually writing. The purple one is time spent staring blankly at the screen. The red screen is time spent deciding on comma placement. I like the gray one. Time spent thinking for a title for your yet unwritten book. That's a good one. Oh, coffee drinking's not up there. I need to make my own. Oh, the yellow, time spent procrastinating by cleaning the house, or time spent reading other books. As you can see, time spent actually writing is prime. So, I want to look at four things today that can help us make time to write and make the most of our precious writing time. And so I want to start with looking at a clock, of finding your time. How many of you are night owls? Night owls unite, yes. Morning birds, okay. Most of us, some of you just like to sleep all day, is that a few of you? Most of us, you instinctively know what's your most creative time of the day. You know, my brain is awake and I'm alive and I can think of ideas nonstop between such and such time of day. You typically know it. For years, I tried to be a morning writer. And when you go to conferences, you always hear, to be a great writer, you're going to get up early in the morning. And you hear these people who get up at 4 a.m. and they write. And I tried it, and it made me a terrible mother. So mornings just don't work for me. It's all I can do to get my kids out to school in clothes. So you can be a writer and not be a morning person. It's okay. And those of you who are morning people, you can go to sleep because you're tired by now. The rest of us will just talk for a few minutes. But think about the time of day that you're at your most creative. And is there any time that you can get some writing done during that time? Like for me, I am much more creative after I have lived a whole day. I've had time for stories to roll around in my head. I've observed things. I've thought about things. And if I can sit down at 8:30, 9 o'clock after my kids have gone to bed, and in that 1 hour, I get done 5 times as much as I would in 1 hour before 9 a.m. So I get up early in the mornings, and instead of writing and being frustrated, I'll take that early morning time and I'll plan my day, or I'll exercise, or I'll prep dinner, or I'll do something else early in the morning. So think about when your most creative time is, when you know your body's rhythm and it's at the best time to write. And if there's any way to squeeze in writing time during that time of the day, do it. And if you need extra time in your mornings and you're not a morning person, do something else in the morning. It's okay. Nobody will know when they read your book that you didn't write it at 5 in the morning. It's all right. So find that prime time and then look at your calendar and see if there's any way you can adjust your schedule. Can you take a lunch break several times a week and write during your lunch break? Can you take an afternoon break and get 15, 20 minutes in? Because we're all writing in the midst of the ands. You are not just writer, you are writer and friend, parent, spouse, employee, volunteer. So you have to make this fit in with what pays the bills. So until you are a full-time writer, figure out, look at your schedule, and then actually put it on the calendar. And if at all possible, get a couple days a week that are in that prime time for when you're your most creative. So figure out your time to write, put it on the calendar. And then once you've figured out your time, your optimal time for writing, and you've put it on your calendar, you need to learn to protect that time. Maybe it's taking the lunch break, maybe it's getting up earlier, but block it off on your calendar and know that that is writing time. Because here's the thing, nobody else is going to do the writing for you, And if you don't respect your writing time, if you don't respect your writing enough to say, no, I can't have a meeting during that time. No, I can't come to that family gathering. No, I can't do this. I can't do that. If you can't learn to say no and respect your writing time, nobody else is going to do it for you. And the more you respect your writing and value this gift, this calling, whatever you want to call it, the more other people in your life will respect it too. So my husband and I, we went back to college as adults and finished our bachelor's degree as working adults. And I remember when we started our cohort, the counselors said to us, so this is a big commitment, and it's going to take a lot of time, and you have to prioritize it and protect your time. You're going to get invited to things. You're going to get requests to help with things and volunteer. And for this time period, you've got to say no. And your friends and your family have to respect that you have something else really important going on in your life. Your writing is the same way. Even if you've never made a dollar off of anything you've written yet, it's that important. If you're called to it and you have to do it, you have to protect it. So take it as important, and people might not like it, but if they love you and they support you, they're going to understand that now and then you're not going to be able to do things because you need to protect your writing time. And apparently, even if you're making millions of dollars, you still have to protect your writing time. So it's time that you learn it now, because this is what J.K. Rowling says. I thought I wrote that down here, but maybe not. Be ruthless about protecting your writing days. Do not cave into the endless request to have essential and long overdue meetings on those days. The funny thing is that although writing has been my actual job for several years now, I still seem to have to fight for time in which to do it. Some people do not seem to grasp that I still have to sit down in peace and actually write the books, apparently believing they pop up like mushrooms without my connivance. I must therefore guard the time allotted to writing as a Hungarian horntail guards its firstborn egg. So there you go. Learn to do it now and protect it and treat it as important now, because even later when you're successful and everybody knows your name, it's still hard to protect your time. So figure out what your prime time is, schedule it on your calendar, get in as much time as you can, and then protect your time. The third key I have is to maximize your time. So we know, okay, we've gone through all the work, we've figured out how we can fit it into our calendar, we've talked to our people, and they understand this is important, it's a priority for us, and now you're sitting down and you have to actually write. And of course, there might be laundry calling, there might be dirty dishes, there might be work projects, there's email dinging, your phone is texting, there's all kinds of distractions. So how can you make the most of your writing time? Because you've worked hard to protect your time. You've worked hard to fit this in. This hour, these hours deserve your best effort. So I have found that what you do before you start writing matters just as much as what you do when you sit down to write. And Shauna Nyquist summed it up really great in a recent blog post that she titled Stocking the Pond. She said, I'm talking about taking responsibility for stocking the pond of your mind and heart so that when it's time to tell a story, it's rich with details and life and texture. And so that when you're staring at a blank page, sure that you have nothing to say, all you have to do is walk out to the pond you've been stocking every day, fish upon fish upon fish. The first step in writing happens way before typing. It's the stocking of the pond. Take notes on your phone, snap pictures, scribble on the back of receipts, notice everything. The first part of writing is noticing. So pay attention to the details in your life, as Zach was telling us. Capture them, record them, audio recording, whatever it takes to capture it. So then when you're sitting down, it's not like you're starting from zero. You already have things that you can arrange and play with and a great story that's just waiting to be told. So there are some tools that you can use to help you stock the pond and collect your ideas. You can email yourself. I have a hard enough time with email, so adding emails from myself to my inbox would not work. But many people will email themselves and keep those in a special file. There's the journal and pen that you can always keep with you. As Zach showed, there's audio recorders. I did my Pray to A to Z cards. I started with a stack of 3x5 cards and just started writing down ideas and keeping them because it was something I needed to arrange and put in order and switch around. But one tool that I have found to be really helpful is an app called Day One. And what I love about Day One is it's on my phone, it can be on an iPad, it can be on your computer. And I want to say it's like $9.99. They're not paying me to say this, but they should, because I recommend everybody gets it. It's a journaling app. And there are a number of things I love about this, because I can write down a bazillion ideas in a notebook, but then going back to find them later, can take me hours of sorting through notebooks. So what I love about the Day One app is I can take a picture, and that picture then becomes part of the journal entry. So I might be out for a run and see something that's really interesting and prompts an idea, and I'll snap a picture of it in my Day One app. And then when I get home, it's already synced to my computer, so when I open up the Day One app on my computer, I can take a little bit of time and write what I thought about that picture, what prompted the idea. But I think what's golden about this is I can record pictures if I want. It records the date, the location, if you allow location services, the time, and the weather. So I can also remember what the day was like, the weather was like. But then you can tag it. So just like you can tag a blog post or things online, I can tag. This one is along the lines of devotional, spiritual growth, nature. And so I probably have like 30 or 40 different tags. So when I sit down, I'm like, I need to write a devotional today. I have a deadline. I can just pull up my Day One app. What have I been thinking about recently? Click on the tag devotional, and all the thoughts that I've had that I've been collecting are right there. So that's one of my favorite things because it syncs and it works really well with both the computer and my phone. But find something. I know a lot of people use Evernote. It's another same sort of thing. You can collect things when you're surfing the internet, research ideas. So those would be a couple things that I would look at. The other thing then is once you know how to stock your pond, you have your routine, you have your tools that you're going to use, is to remove the distractions. Children, they don't go anywhere, but maybe you can hire a babysitter. But whatever you can do so that you can focus. Find a location, find a spot. Like I know if I'm sitting at my kitchen table, I'm not going to get anything done. But if I'm sitting in a corner at a desk in an unfinished basement away from all the chaos of the everyday, I get twice as much done. Or maybe you have a coffee shop that you like to go to. But find a space that you can kind of mentally designate as, this is my space, and when I sit here, I'm writing. And that will help your brain kick into gear and stay focused. If you're in a location that's busy, maybe you need to put in earbuds and put in some white noise. A lot of your apps have what's called distraction-free writing mode. I think when you're in many of the blogging software platforms, you can click distraction-free. Turn off all of the other apps on your computer, make it full screen, anything that you can do that will keep you from hopping out of your writing program and, oh, a Facebook notification came through, or, oh, an email dinged. Anything you can do to keep the distractions to a minimum. Funny thing about these phones, as handy as they are constant noise. And so I discovered that when I hit my power button, it doesn't actually turn off the phone, it turns it on. And even when I hold the power button, this thing doesn't want to turn off. Because I hold the power button and it's like, are you sure you want to turn me off? But you love me, I'm your best friend. But if you really mean it, slide to turn off. So much work to turn these off. But it can be done. You can persevere and you can win and you can turn your phone off for an hour and the world won't end in an hour. So figure out your time, protect your time, get your tools together, stock your pond, get rid of the distractions, and then plan your work. So you know the old saying, plan your work and work your plan. And I have found that when I plan my writing time, everything goes much better and I get more done. So you might be thinking, well, what is there to plan? I just need to sit down and write a book. There will come a day in your writing life where it's more than writing a book. You're writing one book, you're promoting another book. You're keeping up blog posts, you're writing articles for different journals and magazines and online publications. You have to write answers to interview questions. You might get asked to speak at something really cool like JOT, and then you have to write a talk for JOT. So there gets to a point where there's a lot of different pieces that are moving, and it's not just writing the next book or writing the next article, it's 10 things. And so if you can sit down and have your work planned out, and you know, during this session I'm going to do this, and then this, and then this. So I found a great tool last year on Donald Miller's Storyline blog, and it's called the Storyline Productivity Worksheet. Back in the day, I used to carry, you know, a Break Your Back Franklin Covey binder, back when people used a lot of paper. And so this is a similar type system, and I have found there's something about printing this out and filling it out that it helps me focus. This is a free download. The link that's shown here, as of yesterday, it still worked. You can also search on the Storyline blog for Storyline Productivity page. And it's a PDF that you'll get a link to download. And in the introduction part, there's several pages of explaining how this works and why it works. He did a lot of time putting research into this, but it's designed for creative people. And so I found that very helpful. And he has you start out by focusing on What is your life theme? He has you write that down every day. What is your life theme? So everything that you are doing, the projects you're working on, how does that fit with your life theme? Then he's got place for regular to-do lists. And then the thing that really I appreciated about this is he had a spot where it says, if I could live today over, I would. So you're thinking about already, when I get to the end of today, what would I wish I had done differently? And you probably have your typical things that you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh, I should have done this. I shouldn't do that. So think about that at the beginning of the day before you start your work. And then what he shows, the big piece of this, is 3 projects per day. He says he's found that typically you can't do more than 3 projects a day. And so he says to start with the one that's going to take the most energy, the most brain work, and start there. And he says there's a little tiny bubble. It shows kind of the brain drain that happens with each project. So you start with your project that's going to require the most energy, the most mental work, and then gradually work through the next 2. I found this to be very helpful. He claims it will help you overcome procrastination and not feel overwhelmed and manage your mental energy. But that's the thing that I found to be really helpful. Print out a stack of these, fill one out each day, and then when I have time to write, I'm sitting down and I'm knowing this is what I'm working through and these are my priorities. So, oh, and the other great thing about this, and I tended to do this, is he builds in breaks, rewards. So after you do each project for as long as you can handle it until your brain is fuzzy and you're done, then you give yourself a 10-minute break and you reward yourself with something. Set your timer, though, because you can quickly take 10 minutes and turn it into 20. But if you know you have something to look forward to, if I finish these 2 chapters, then I'm going to go get a cup of coffee or have a piece of dark chocolate, something to reward yourself. So find your time, protect your time, maximize your time. And then the last one is squeeze in extra time. We have 2 kinds of writing time that I consider, cracks and canyons. So canyons are the big, wide, open spaces of time when you're able to get an hour or 2 hours. I try to get canyons of time whenever I can. When I wrote my book, Isn't It Time for a Coffee Break? The way my life schedule worked out that time was it was hard to get a lot of writing time in every day, but Thursdays were a really great day for me. And so I wrote my book mainly on Thursdays and Friday mornings. And I did that for 5 or 6 months, and that's how my book got written. So if you can have 1 time a week where you have a few hours, maybe you get up on Saturday mornings and you've worked it out with your family that you can have a few hours on Saturday mornings, however it works for your life and your family schedule, try and get a chunk of time once a week if you can, every other week. Maybe every quarter, every 6 months, you get a discounted hotel off of something like Priceline.com and you take a weekend away. Maybe once a year, you take a group of writer friends and you share the cost of a cabin and you get away. But whenever you can, try to get regular canyons of time where you have long breaks. But you'll find probably most of your writing is done in the cracks of time. And it's amazing how 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 3 minutes here can really add up to a whole chapter or a whole book. I had a story published in Chicken Soup for the Writer's Soul, and there was a woman there who said she had read a story about a man who wrote an entire novel on his lunch break, and that inspired her. All she had was 20 minutes a day, so she took 20 minutes a day on her lunch break, and she wrote her book that way. So it can be done. If life is very busy and you only have cracks of time, keep your tools handy, keep your journal, your day one app, your notebook handy, and you can write a lot in the cracks of time. In fact, when I sat down to write this talk, it wasn't a planned writing time. I'd planned on doing it later in the day, but I'd had appointments all morning long and errands and a lunch meeting, and then I had a precious hour before I had to pick up my kids from school and then do piano lessons and homework and dinner and bedtime. I was like, an hour to myself. Okay, I need to catch up on Downton Abbey because I missed the last episode. Ooh, there's this really great BuzzFeed quiz that will tell me which British actress should be my grandmother. Maggie Smith, yes. Oh, man, I'm behind on my Facebook posts and Twitter, and there were all of these things. I was like, an hour, what can I do? Sit down, and I'm going to write my talk. I probably should have done laundry. I probably should have mopped the floors. But I sat down and I cranked out the talk in an hour, a completely unexpected hour. So when you're surprised by like kids who take a longer nap than usual, we can dream. Take that time and write. Unless your 8-year-old son is pulling dirty jeans out of the laundry basket for the second days in a row and yells, "Isn't anybody around here ever going to do laundry?" Then stop writing and teach him how to do laundry. Your family is part of the team. If you have kids, they can pitch in and they can be part of it. And then when you have your book party, they get to celebrate too. So find your time, figure out how you work best, and if you can write during your prime time, squeeze in extra time, protect your time, and get people on your team. We think that writing is solitary, and it is, because only you can do the writing. But now that I am a writer, I always take time to read those acknowledgments, and they're always really long. They're thanking everybody, because writers know they can't do it alone. It takes a team of people who support in you, who help you, who believe in you. So protect your time, get people on your team, and then find some tools that work for you and begin to stock your pond and make the most of your writing time. And the more this becomes a habit and a discipline, you'll find you look forward to the writing times. Like, you can't wait to sit down. And by the time you sit down, you're ready to go. So I can't wait to hear what you create. Thank you. Hide.
I didn't know who was going first. So yeah. I didn't even think about it.